Hey yo, this is JC
SD live at the Loom.
So, the talk of the week, my man, well, a guy who we are supporters of. You say you're a fan. I'm a fan of no man, but I do support Deion Primetime Sanders. A bit of controversy out there.
And I misread it, but please continue.
Yeah, a bit of controversy. So, for you who are living under a rock, Deion Sanders, Primetime, took over the head coaching duties for JSU, Jackson State University.
Jackson, Mississippi, sir.
Yes, which is a HBCU, historically black college university. He took over that job 2 years ago. He went undefeated this year, won the championship 2 years in a row. So quite a feat, quite an accomplishment. He got these guys endorsements. He got them a new facility, new uniforms every game. This is because of Deion's connections. Got them suits to wear through straight hands.
That's right, through straight hands.
Yeah, through straight hands.
Hooked up deals so they could travel via plane.
Yeah, hooked up deals so he has connections.
I think Jerry Jones might have helped out with that.
Yeah, so his connections stretch pretty far, and Jackson State University benefited from that. The players did, the faculty, the alum, you know, everybody benefited from it. The city, you know, anytime they had a game, the stadium was packed. And so everybody eats when the stadium's packed.
A lot of exposure.
Speaking
of Troy Aikman, he came out to a game, just showed up. Right. And you can see in the video, you know, that Deion is shocked and surprised. Yeah. You know, Troy's like, hey, because he played in the spring because of the pandemic. And,
a lot of it.
Aikman's a football head. He's a football nerd. So he just comes and shows up, man. And Deion's like, oh, my God. You know, welcomes him and everything. Man, it was really a cool moment.
Yeah, a lot of exposure. So last week, or a few days ago, he took over the head coaching job. He accepted a position with Colorado University.
Big State U.
Yeah, which is an FBS. Jackson State is Division I. Colorado is Division I. Jackson State is lower tier Division I. Colorado University is tier one university, upper echelon Division
Power
I
school.
Right.
Back 12.
He took that over, and a lot of people are disappointed. A lot of people are supportive. It's kind of split down the middle, I think. And I can see both sides, though. I'm an objective thinker. I can see both sides. But ultimately, I think he made the right decision for him.
I consider Deion a friend. We used to speak on a fairly regular basis. We met for 3 hours, not too far from here, when I was commissioner of the NPFL. He's going to put a team in the league. He's doing the whole prime thing. And he is a great, great guy. All he talked about in the meetings, was the kids. You know, he wanted everything for the kids, wanted to pay it forward, and he's backed that up with what he's done with Little League, and these kids don't have to pay very much, and they get to go, you know, to Atlanta and play games and stuff like that. So he's put his money where his mouth is in that. When he took the Jackson State job, I misread him a little bit, but I'm not mad at him at all. I thought his thought process was being Deion and doing things from a counterintuitive type standpoint. I said, look, I'm going the HBCU route. I want to bring that back, you know, and I don't have any motivation to jump up and take another job because he was offered the TCU job, who made the Final Four playoff this weekend, by the way, and Max Duggan, a Heisman candidate going to New York, quarterback TCU, before Sonny Dykes ultimately took it and did a hell of a job. So I thought, well, Deion's not going to jump in and climb the coaching ladder, but what Deion always would say when he was, you know, on the NFL Network was, why does a great player like a Troy Aikman or, you know, a Jerry Rice, why does somebody like that have to take a bunch of assistant jobs? Why can't they just jump right into the head coach? He openly said that.
Right.
He was like, you don't think Troy Aikman can handle it? You don't think, you know, all these guys can handle it? Because the traditional move in football is, you know, you're an assistant. And you work your way up.
Right.
You sure you can do it, right? You sure you got a dedication, man, to be a member of the club. And he said that, and I was like, yeah, it's interesting. And so then he takes the Jackson State job. And again, I thought that it was just a counterintuitive move by him looking to bring a lot of attention to HBCUs. Now, look, man, just as an aside, I am a football freak. The first poster I ever had on my wall was Walter Payton.
Mm-hmm.
Also Mississippi native.
Right.
Jackson State guy.
Right.
Okay. I just on a whim, put together an all HBCU team. I don't see them being beat. Right. I really don't. You're talking about Rice at one receiver. You're right. Talking about Peyton in the backfield.
Right, right.
You're talking about, take your pick, Doug Williams or Steve McNair at quarterback. Both who can flat out get it done. Defense is insane. Willie Lanier, Deacon Jones, Ed Jones, Buck Buchanan. I mean, it's, you know, it's absurd, man.
Right.
Dick Nitrane Lane, Daryl Green,
right.
Aeneas Williams, Ken Houston, Hall of Famers.
And you're saying, so, if there was an all HBCU team, this is what you're saying?
I don't think they could be beat.
Oh, okay.
They wouldn't need a punter or a kicker.
Right, right.
And of course, you know, Coach Robinson, Coach Rob would be the coach of that thing.
Right.
And so,
right.
I mean, I'm serious. I don't see them being scored on. When you look at their secondary, I mean, Everson Walls is their nickel corner. Right. Okay? I mean, it's insane, the guys that are on that thing. Man, you're talking about Daryl Green and Dick Nitrane Lane, two of the four or five best corners that ever played.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about Willie Lanier,
mm-hmm.
and you're talking about, you know, guys like L.C. Greenwood and Ed right. Jones and Deacon Jones and Michael Strahan. I mean, and Ken Houston. I mean, this guy was Sean Taylor, you know, way back in the day, 6'4", 225. George Allen traded his whole draft for him. So anyway, I thought he was going to go that route, and it was going to be really unique to see that thing flourish and grow. But I'm not mad at him for taking a jump to a Power 5 school. I think it's genius, in fact, in that, look, he's on the biggest of stages. Colorado has a little bit of national title history. You know, back to Coach McCartney and those guys. And if, you know, there's a team in it, if they go 12-0 and they went out and they won the Pac-12, you know, they'll be in the playoff. They'll right. play for a national championship. It's a big right. state school.
Right.
A lot of crazy unique rules there at Colorado. Man, you can't sign somebody to a multi-year deal. You have to renew their deal after every year.
Right.
Really strange, really unique. But I'm not mad at him. I just misjudged what I thought he was going to do. Like I said, not mad at the guy.
But I don't think you misjudged him.
Well,
that's what he sold.
Exactly. And see, you're going too easy on him. No, what I'm saying is I'm going back and I'm saying how I remember that.
Right.
He said, how come a guy can't jump to be a head coach?
Right.
Well, he found a place he could jump to be a head right. coach, which was Jackson State.
Right.
Took him right away. So then all of a sudden it's like, now he's not looking to go to FSU to be an assistant. And even right. the move he makes, he's looking to be a head coach. So
right.
he did go right around that, like he said.
Well, I don't know, man. He sold the public that he didn't need to go that route.
Well, what I'm saying is it was a stated goal, even though I misread it.
No, he sold that he was going to build up HBCU. That's what he sold. That he was going to build them up. That he had no aspirations of going anywhere. He was going to build up the HBCUs, and there was no need for 5 stars and 4 stars to go to the big Power 5.
True.
They can go to the HBCUs.
True.
That's what he sold.
Didn't Eddie George take a job on one of the
yes,
HBCUs?
Big Tennessee State.
But he, you know, Eddie is.
But Eddie.
Again, Eddie was a star. He's a great looking guy. He's incredibly charismatic, man. Beautiful speaker. Wonderful human being.
Right.
Accomplished football player. But there's only one Dion.
Yeah, there's only one Dion.
There's not too many of those guys running
there's
around.
Only one Dion. That's only
and
one
so
Dion.
I think it's going to be a great fit in terms of he understands how to defend the pass.
Uh-huh.
If you look at the way the passing game has exploded
right,
and
right.
taken off, just at every level of football. Okay, so what's going to go hand in hand with that is the ability to defend the passing game. Okay, and so certainly Dion has a great understanding of how to do this. I mean, you had a discussion about great players making great coaches.
Right,
we're
right,
not going to
right.
get into that.
Right.
Okay, Dion cannot expect corners that he coaches to be 6'1 with long arms and be the fastest player on the football field at
right,
all
right.
times. He can't expect that. But the thing about Dion is Dion's a technique guy, very conscientious, very intelligent. He's a teacher. I can remember Bruce, the guy from the Rams, Isaac
mm-hmm.
Bruce.
Mm-hmm.
He's running around against Dion, and Dion's telling him, hey, man, don't step high, step inside and turn. And, he's,
right.
and Bruce is like, damn, you know, this guy studies the game.
Right, right.
And so, again, the narrative, and I understand exactly what you're saying. You could see why I kind of did think, okay, man, HBCU thing is cool. I could totally see him doing it counterintuitive, like you said, building to it. It's there, but also what they slipped in, and it's true, it's been mentioned,
mm-hmm.
you can reach more people on this bigger platform.
Well, let's break that down. Well, first off, let's slow it down. Do you understand why some people are disappointed and feel like he lied and
sure.
sold them?
I do. I'm not. But I understand why you are. And I don't think if I was African American that I would look at it any differently.
You can't say that, though. That's a big ill.
I don't.
I understand it. But I understand why people are upset. Because that's not what Deion sold them on.
People have a right to be upset.
Deion's a salesman. And Deion's a businessman. Oh, so we can't forget that. And so he was not all the way truthful about his intentions. I know you like the guy. You consider him a friend, but we got to be objective. He was not all the way truthful.
Okay, well, and again, you know, in terms of, you know, what I said about being able to jump out of my skin and live in someone else's skin, we all know that's not possible. But you're also talking to someone that has a great understanding and respect for the HBCUs. Great understanding and respect for them.
Okay.
I met Coach Robinson. He was kind of surprised that I knew who he was. I mean, it was like meeting a Titan. Okay, so that doesn't necessarily mean that I understand, you know, in terms of, you know, what it's like to be in this grouping and what the HBCUs have gone through and what he sold and brought to them. But again, as I just said earlier, man, you know, not to, you know, overstate it, I did make it all HBCU teams. So I'm a fan, and I certainly understand their significance in more ways than one. But I would agree that you're not totally surprised that people are upset. Now, part of that, from the outside looking in terms of why people feel the way that they do, I did not attend an HBCU. So someone that did, hey, man, look, Grambling's White Tiger, man. It's a movie from back in the days, but it's about a white guy from California who could not get into UCLA or USC.
Right.
Okay, Bruce Jenner played him. It's a great movie, man. Go find it. And all he did was look and research and said, Eddie Robinson has sent more guys to the NFL than anybody.
Right, right.
So he gets in a car and heads to Grambling, Louisiana. California guy doesn't think anything about it.
Right.
Called Grambling's White Tiger. Harry Belafonte plays Coach Robinson, and Bruce Jenner plays the guy.
Okay.
It's really a great, great, great movie. I found it a while back. It's fantastic, and it's very interesting. Again, and we're talking about it being results-driven. Now, again, back to what we were talking about in terms of the HBCUs. I'm not going to ever begrudge anybody their personal feelings about something, but let's stop for just a second. For anyone in this bed, you mentioned everything that I was going to mention. Thank you for having the good show prep, so I didn't have to mention it.
Right, right.
The Strahan thing,
right.
The unis, that whole thing,
right?
Like, what more can you ask of the guy? Look at it this way. So LeBron comes back to Cleveland and wins the title.
Mm-hmm.
The first time he left, oh man, those guys, they hated him.
Right,
when he left the second time, thank you, man. When he left the Heat to go back to Cleveland after helping them win rings, they said, thank you, man, we were glad to have you.
Right.
You know, so that's kind of the way that I look at it. That, like,
that's a bit different.
He did some things
That's a vast difference because.
But it's in better shape than when he left, than he
was. Not necessarily. I'm going to tell you why. And this was from a black man's perspective. This is why a lot of black people look at this with disappointment.
Not all, but a segment, as you said.
Yeah, I said a lot. Because some of them look at it like, you sold that we could build our own. We didn't have to depend on the Power Five.
And 2 years is like a one-off.
We didn't have to go to the system.
Yeah, you're right.
Right?
2 years is like a one-off. It's not three, it's not five.
Travis was a 4- or 5-star cornerback. He had him come over.
There's that DB that was going to go to Florida State and just transferred with him. Yeah, that guy.
So that gave people
Travis, hope. Whatever his name is, he's hot shit.
It gave people hope that, hey, we can do our own thing. We can do our own thing. We don't always have to depend on the white establishment.
Reminded me when I played the NCAA game on a video game when they had it out, and I took the Grambling job just for fun, but recruited 4- and 5-star athletes, put together a team that was able to beat Nebraska. It's video game and it's fantasy, but if they had stayed there and continued to draw 4- and 5-star guys that were coming there, plus any of the number of transfers that would have went there,
he had that opportunity.
He could have competed.
So when you say he left in a better shape than when he got there, that's not all the way true. Because I'm hearing people say he left the blueprint. What's the blueprint? To find a Deion to recruit? There's not another Deion. Those kids came there because of Deion.
That's true.
So you'll never find another Deion. So there is not a blueprint.
Can you take a guy that's incredibly charismatic, okay, like just for instance, there's a guy that they would always go to on NFL Network to give commentary, right? A guy's name was Jacoby Jones. He was a wide receiver from Baltimore, kick returner, also played for the Texans. An electric personality.
Mm-hmm.
Great athlete. Not going to find a Deion, but can you find a guy like that? Can you find a guy that's like, wow, man, you know, he was average or solid or maybe even very good as a player?
I think it would have to be a Deion.
Could you get a Nate Burleson or someone like that?
No, it won't do it.
Well, and I think the reason that you can say that is because Eddie George.
Exactly.
And again, it's you're talking about a charismatic guy, it's tough to be more charismatic than Eddie George.
Listen, we got Eddie Robinson Jr. who got into it with Deion. Because of Deion walking around the field and whatever before the game. And he even said he's not swag. And let's come back to be true he's not swag.
And Eddie Robinson played in the NFL, had a good career.
I don't like the division because I'm such a huge Eddie Robinson fan. Anybody knows football knows he's a Titan, he's a giant, he's a legend.
Right.
Coach Rob, as they call him, legendary.
Right.
And yeah, I don't like to see these guys beeping. But, you know... coaches beef and get into it all the time.
Right,
it's a fluid situation. But again, yeah, I think now you're able to look back at it and say, okay, that does make a little bit of sense in terms of maybe Coach Robinson, Eddie Robinson Jr. saw through him and said, this is a ploy, but let's remember this. And again, yes, I am a
Deion. He got beat up by that too.
I am a Deion fan. I consider him a friend. I admire him. I look up to him. We would text about things not football related. I just love the guy. I know that a lot of people saw him in reality TV, like my ex-fiance who didn't like him. I don't like that Deion. All you know is marital infidelities. Well, that's not my business. I'm not excusing it. That's from a guy who was loyal within the confines of being engaged and so forth. I can't look down on him for that. But I know the man and met the man and absolutely love the guy. Absolutely love the guy. And yes, I can understand why people feel the way that they do. I don't feel that way. But I think that when you look at him immediately getting the job he would not have been able to get elsewhere. You know, no big state school was going to take him and hire him to be their coach. It's all free will, man.
Yeah,
Texas
State
didn't have to hire him.
No doubt.
He didn't have to. He didn't have to buy those suits
and
those unis
and
provide the plane fare and just his name alone drawing the TV attention, which I know got them a little bit of money.
Right.
Okay. He didn't have to do that. You know. Now I think what's coming out now is that I have a kid that I recruited out of Florida, man, when I was coaching college, man. Love this kid from Jacksonville. He's an absolute burner, and he supports Deion. You know, loves Deion, supports him. But I said, yeah, man, these HBCUs are dying. He was at Bethune-Cookman before I recruited him.
Right.
He said, Bethune is dying. They're dying. I heard a few years back, man, even before the pandemic, man, there were schools couldn't make travel arrangements.
Oh, yeah.
Forfeiting games.
No doubt.
You just didn't see stuff like that at the collegiate level. So I do understand that. But boy, I'll tell you what, and I'll leave it at this, it's a slippery slope.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. Deion has the right to do what Deion wants to do for himself. But if you look at history, and we all have our strengths and our weaknesses and our little quirkiness, but Deion's about Deion. Deion's about Deion. Deion came to the draft in the most loud suit. Deion made the song, "It Must Be About the Money." It must be the money.
Hold up, bro.
Let me finish.
He does.
I know that's your guy. Let me finish. Because you can't be objective, obviously. Let me finish. Deion played two sports, traveling back and forth, sometimes on the same day. That's selfish. Now, you can say he was passionate about two sports. Cool. He was about the limelight, making the most money he can make, and sacrificing being focused on one sport and giving himself to one team.
I do love you.
A reporter, forgot the reporter's name, called him out on it. Deion got mad, threw some ice on him. But the guy was right. He called Deion selfish. The guy was right. And we all got our thing. So this is not to bash Deion. We all got our thing, right? But that's Deion. Deion likes the limelight. He likes the stage. Deion is about Deion.
Okay.
So they had to see this coming.
What I'm saying is he promotes himself, but then he also gives it himself.
No doubt.
He also gives it himself. And look, here's another thing, man. I don't know about you. I don't, you know, I would like to say I believe in reincarnation and I was a Roman soldier or a Celtic warrior back in the day, man.
Right.
And that you yourself, you know, was one of Haile Selassie's warriors.
Right.
I don't believe in that shit. You only got one go around. If you got it like that, To me, if you got it like that, because these pro teams just see you as a piece of meat anyway.
Right.
The commissioners of these leagues just see you as a piece of meat because the owners tell them, look, man, we need to run them in and out of here as fast as possible. They get too old, they get too expensive, they start getting hurt and paying for nothing.
Right.
So him doing that, I can't hold that against him. But yeah, I think that what we're talking about here, man, is that there are areas that we're both right.
Right.
We're both right in it.
Right.
You know, and it's good for you to offer a kind of a an alternative viewpoint. Not necessarily opposite, just a different viewpoint.
Right, right,
one
right,
thing that pisses me off is when they start referring to black people and white people as opposites. I've always hated that. It's bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
You could be different. You don't have to be the opposite.
Right, right.
You and I can have different opinions.
Right.
But we've already gone over it before, man. We've had a discussion before, man, just how much we're alike.
Right, right.
But our opinions are going to be different.
Right.
Sometimes. And that's what this is. And one day, I'm thinking maybe, man, and I'll, you know, you're the EP, so I'll talk to you about it. Maybe one day we'll do a Super Bowl show. There's a coach that's beloved that you pointed out that he might be a little bit overrated. And
hey.
I think it's incredibly controversial. I don't want to get into
No, we're going to get into it.
I
want to
save that for maybe a Super Bowl show.
Yeah, let's say this, though. Once you looked over and slept on it, you hit me up.
I thought things that I didn't think before.
Yes.
Because, again, you're talking about another guy who, right, even though I didn't know him, he was golden with me because,
right,
you would see these surveys again, and he was the most loved guy. Anyway, let's
right,
not
right,
get
right.
Off track.
Yeah, we won't get into it.
We've talked about Deion.
We
agree to disagree on some things, but I think that we generally feel like he's a good guy.
Yeah.
He's a self-promoter.
Well, and to be fair to Deion, to be objective, we all have interviewed for a job and gave the impression to that job that we were going to be there for years. But we may retire there, right?
My last stop.
We've all done it. We don't go into a job saying, hey, man, I'm only going to be here 2 years. I'm looking for a home. And sometimes we mean it. And sometimes we have in the back of our head, hey, man, as soon as I get another opportunity, I'm out of this. This ain't for me.
And if I can do better for myself, I'm going to.
Yes. And so being objective, we can't come down too hard. And I said we. People can't come down too hard on Deion. They have to give him the right to be human.
On the flip side, the one-off shit pisses me off.
Yeah.
When a coach is one place for 1 year and bounces.
Right.
Okay, Matt Rhule did that a bunch.
Right.
Turned a couple programs around, and boom, he's out. He's had like 3 or 4 jobs in the last 5 or 6 years.
Right.
You know, he's at Carolina, one-off, done, goes back to Nebraska. Fine, that's fine, man. It's all free will.
That was like a performance.
Yeah, but there was a guy named Todd Graham who he gets the Rice job. And, you know, Rice hadn't been very good. Gets him 7-5, boom, takes the Tulsa job. Tulsa hadn't been that good. Gets them split, boom, takes the Arizona State job. Like, one-offs.
Right, right.
It didn't used to be like that when we were coming up, man. You had to show a little bit, stay around a little bit, and this was the benefit of the kids and of the program. But it's the drive-through society we live in, man. Everything's supposed to happen a lot faster now.
Right, right.
So on one hand, you can look at it and say, yeah, man, Deion did use it as a stepping stone. He totally did.
He
would not have gotten.
He did. But that's okay.
At the same time,
that's okay, because we've done it.
He may have opened people's eyes to the fact that, look, this traditional route that y'all are talking about, there's some guys that can come in and can get it done right away. Now, we'll see.
That's
I have a good friend of mine who Deion is his idol. Guy from, that was a 2-time Los Angeles area champion in high school, man. I played with the guy, man. Great corner. Wore 21. Just idolized Deion. He even liked That Must Be the Money song.
Holy crap.
I mean, you think I'm biased, right? He said, when we spoke when it happened, his reasoning was, look, and some of the things I agree with him. He said, look, Colorado's terrible this year. He said, let's look at the Pac-12 right now. USC, good. UCLA, good. UW, good. Oregon, good and always good. Oregon State on the rise. They'll go get some more JUCOs. The Arizona teams are terrible, but Utah is very good.
So we just mentioned
6 teams.
Right.
Okay. And schools with a better track record than Colorado recently. So they're looking at, they finished last in the Pac-12 this year. They're looking, you know, it's 14 teams, whatever the hell it is. They're a 10th or 12th or 13th best team at best. So my friend who loves Deion and worships the guy as a cornerback guy, does not think it's going to work. He absolutely does not think it's going to work, thinks Deion's going to struggle, and I think that's all relative. I think you got to give him a little bit of time.
Yeah, I do think he's going to struggle, but we'll see. I hope the best for him, but we'll see.
We'll see. It'll be interesting.
Yeah. Hey, we're at the Loon. live every Monday. Every Monday at 7 p.m. Central. Dallas Uptown or Uptown Dallas, whatever you want to call it. At the corner.
Special Tuesday show.
No doubt. At the corner of Cole Avenue and Hall Street. At the corner of Cole Avenue and Hall Street. Dallas Uptown or Uptown Dallas. The Loon. Come join us live every Monday. Now, switching gears a bit, man. I saw on the news that there's a lawsuit going on. A web designer, a website designer, has refused to build a website for someone of the LGBTQ community because they don't agree with same-sex marriage. They don't agree with the lifestyle. This person filed a lawsuit against them saying they violated the anti-discrimination law or broke it, and it's in court right now. And the conservatives and the liberals are kind of split on it. Should someone have the right to not provide a service to a person or a group they just don't like or agree with for whatever reason?
Yes, they should have that right. And here's the thing about what's so beautiful about it is if you are exclusive of a group, you're going to fuck yourself in the end.
Right.
Okay? It's not, don't worry about any punitive punishment, because if you don't treat all customers well in order to get them service during the sale, service after the sale,
right?
Okay, if you will start eliminating people that are coming to you to be your customers, you know, you're gonna screw yourself out of the deal. Now, if this, to look a little bit deeper into it and not knowing, if they're asking you for a website, and I'm not saying these guys were, but let's say they're asking you for a website that's illicit,
right?
In terms of, you know, I don't know why I'm missing the word, but you know, an example, an art, a depiction,
yes,
of a certain situation,
right?
And in this case, it's sexual, and they say, well, I don't want to fool with that because that goes against my values. If somebody was asked to design a pornographic website of heterosexuals, they said no, only would be a problem,
right?
But first of all, for it to, it's very interesting to me, because for it to need to be known, in other words, you know, how did this person know, unless there was that theme attached to it in some way, shape, or form that said, hey, you know, we're really, as right, part of this, man, I want this banner and that, which right, that's likely what happened.
Right, right.
And again, it's like, I liken it to when, and remember the Titans, they denied those guys service. And Sunshine, Marty Bass, got his dad, who was a hot shot in the military, said, hey man, y'all violating federal law.
Right.
And allowed them to eat. My thought process is, at that point, after they treated you like that, why would you even want to
eat?
That's
how I feel.
Why would you want that business?
I feel that.
You want to get the law involved is posturing. You're firing a lawsuit is posturing, because why would you want them to do that
for you? I wouldn't even trust you over my food.
Probably at all.
See, this is what, you're on to something.
This is posturing to make noise.
Yeah, you're on to something, because I look back on history when blacks were discriminated from eating in certain restaurants, white-owned restaurants, and they would do sit-ins, or they would say, well, go to the back and eat, you can't sit up front, things like that. I wouldn't even trust someone to cook my food, to prepare my absolutely food, man. I wouldn't even want to eat there.
And that's a unique situation, but yes, absolutely.
And so I have no problem with someone saying they don't want me eating at their restaurant. My problem comes, well, I have a problem with you saying I can't purchase that land over there to build my own restaurant.
That's a little bit different.
Yeah, that's different.
That's a little bit different.
But I ain't got no problem you saying don't come into your establishment.
That's a little bit different. You're right. And listen, that is a very interesting, because there's other places to get food. But land, they're not making any more of it.
Right.
That's why they
right
say invest in it, right?
Right, right.
That's a little bit different.
Well, and I understand in some situations when blacks are traveling, we were not as congested as a nation back then. There was a lot of land out there that was unpopulated. So you can go miles and miles without seeing a gas station or a restaurant or a restroom. And so it's not like it is now, right? So, you know, so they'd be forced to have to stop over to get something to eat, try to get something at a white-owned restaurant, because you may not see another one in about 30 miles, man. I don't know, maybe more than that.
And that's pretty sorry. Yeah. That's pretty fucking sorry to me.
Yeah.
That's real sorry. And again, here's the thing, in regards to land, about them not making any more of it, we've also learned a lot more about the topography and the geographic nature of the land that we live on over these past three centuries.
Right.
Okay? And there's a reason why, okay, that the coastal land, you know, is expensive.
Right.
You know, there's a reason why we can go right, and I know you know this better than I do. We can go right down 175 into Rochester Park and Bontown where they have flooding.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay?
Oh, yeah.
It's substandard land.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We know the makeup down there. Yeah. Right?
You I stayed to in Bontown that back about, in the day. About 2 years.
You have
man,
to, you have to
was,
figure that back in the day, this was all that was left
right.
to this group. Right?
Right?
And so now, as you talked about, well, we're pushing west and manifest destiny and all this stuff. A lot more parcels and lots to choose from.
Right, right.
But that's not the case now. You know, our situation has changed. We're north of 320 million people. Okay. We still have a lot of land.
Right.
But I think that anyone would tell you that there's certain places where it's risky and dangerous to own land in terms of like Tornado Alley.
Right.
But not there, it's all flat, right?
Right, right.
There are these tornadoes, man. You know what I'm saying? That's a life changer.
Right.
It could be a life ender.
Right.
Right? You know, you look at, you know, why Florida in so many ways is nowhere near the value in land that California is. You know, but Florida has hurricanes and they're pretty fairly common.
Right.
Well, California has earthquakes. They're not as common as hurricanes.
Right.
Okay. So, again, you know, I look at it one way, and I think you look at it the same way that I do. For us, it's a non-issue. I see the lawsuit as a little bit of posturing, but it's fine. It's fine, man, to bring light to something. And you should out people that are discriminatory. Again, without knowing the circumstances of it, I still say, you should be able to serve to who you want to. If you got it like that,
right.
you can still make money by turning people away that have money for you.
Right.
Man, good for you, because somebody else is not going to turn them away.
And eventually,
and make that money.
Yeah, and eventually I feel those people, those restaurants, those establishments that turn people away, or even if you're an independent contractor, they're turning people away because you don't agree with their lifestyle or you don't like their race or their ethnicity, whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
And like you said, you will eventually X yourself out.
And it's more ways than just giving people business. If you don't hire someone
right.
based on a discriminatory practice, that person that you don't hire, either them or the next one that you don't, it's going to be that person that can help you revolutionize your business and be a plus-plus employee, because we all have different abilities and talents that we add to the gumbo here in America. There are all kinds of people from all kinds of backgrounds that are smart, that are talented, that are good people. You know, people, if you will. And so if you start being restrictive, all you're doing is handicapping yourself.
Right.
So, yeah, man, you got that right. I got the right to punch myself in the face.
Yeah.
I don't recommend it, but
right.
I can if I want to.
Right, right. Once again, we at the Loon live every Monday at 7 p.m. Central at the corner of Cole Avenue and Hall Street.
Loon,
JC and SD, man. Come on. Come and check us out, man. Good food, good drinks, good service. So come check us out. Something else I want to get into and talk about, get your take on. Of course, everyone knows the World Cup is going on right now. Some of those games are in Iran. I won't say Iran because they get offended. You say Iran.
That's right. Be corrected about that.
Yeah, Iran. They have the morality police. And people are resisting. Women, in particular, specifically, are resisting. A lot of women are resisting. One woman died after she was arrested, and she died in the custody of these morality police. Iran decided to kill that initiative because of her death. You know, I'm mixed about this. The whole morality thing. I get it.
I think sometimes America is too liberal. And we let too much go on. And we show a lack of morals in a lot of ways. We let our women wear anything. The guys, a lot of sagging. But we're going to talk about the women right now. Just, man, titties out, ass cheeks showing. And it can cause a lot of problems. It has caused a lot of problems. With men clashing, women getting raped. And women will always say, I can dress how I want to dress. That gives you no right to violate me. I get that, too.
Exactly.
I get it.
You also have never been compelled
right.
to do that to a woman.
Right. I've never been compelled to do that. Never had that urge or that ideal to do that. Regardless.
Which separates how us from the animals.
Yeah, regardless how a woman is dressed. But not everyone moves like us.
That's true.
Okay?
That's true.
So to keep down the noise, why not have a morale code, morality code? But we don't because... because of a lot of powers that be, we don't have it. You call it feminists, liberals, you know, there's a lot going on. Women's rights. So I don't think we'll ever be that kind of country.
As a nation, you know, our laws are based on Judeo-Christian teachings.
Right.
And many of the countries in the Middle East, their laws are based on Muslim doctrine.
Yes.
And some of the... you know, interpretations of it are, for instance, if you are a woman and you are raped, you need 4 adult Muslim males to witness it.
Mm.
Or don't even bother accusing anybody.
Wow.
Because if you do, you know what the punishment is.
I didn't know that.
You're stumped. 4 adult Muslim males
to witness it.
To witness it. Otherwise, don't even accuse.
Right.
It's just, which is horrible.
That is horrible.
And so... and we want to go way back. Any and all the prophets, if you believe in that, and you get down like that, from Moses, you know, Ibrahim to Jesus to Muhammad, they were all sent to reform.
Right.
But then the reforming got reformed. Martin Luther posted a letter of disagreement on the wall of the Catholic Church. We all learned that way back in the day.
Mm.
This spawned Lutheranism. This was the Reformation era. There are people that have long said for a long time, Islam needs to reform. It needs to reform. Okay? There's certain things such as the laws that I was just talking about, such as women are there for your use, such as taking multiple wives that have been, many would say, misconstrued or interpreted. Okay? To benefit those that are in power,
right,
that wish to wield this influence over others and use Islam and Islamic law. And again, there are divisions within the sects. You know, you've got your Sunnis and your Shias that completely disagree on different finer points of the religion. But I think that there are, over time, because it is the youngest of all of the major religions,
most recent,
there have been many scholars, people, historians, whatever, that have said that they need to reform. They really need to reform. And because everyone else did, Old Testament, New Testament, from Catholicism to, you know, Lutheranism to Presbyterian, you know what I'm saying? It's all been reformed. And so for them to do that, but usually, man, these regimes are hardcore. For them to do that, it's a signal of a big change.
Well, I don't think
that there might be some reformation coming. It might not be a lot.
Yeah.
Okay, because the man that raised me worked with some cats from China. Right? They love my pop because he's quietly diligent.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And he fit right in with them. And they were telling him 30 years ago, all the hardliners are going to die out. China's about to be wide ass open. Have they? Nope. They haven't died out.
Right?
People that keep, you know, opposite motion to stay in motion, opposite rest to stay at rest. People that have power really like to keep it. Okay? And again, the reason that I can say this is a big change is because nothing like it's ever happened before. This is like trying to get FIFA to change a fucking rule in soccer to make it open it up more for offense. They're not going to do it. They're traditionalists.
Right?
For these cats to say, all right, we'll pull back a little bit on that. It's amazing to me because most of the time when they have these examples of Shia law,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, these secular madrasas and things of that nature where they're under Shia law.
Right.
Right now in France, they get away with that shit. And these little segments that they really don't adhere to the government laws, they tried that shit in Australia, and Australia was like, no way, mate. There'll be no Shia law here. It's Australian law, right. Period, mate.
Right.
Screw that. Y'all fall under the same jurisdiction.
Right.
Whereas France has a lot. They do a lot of dealings with Morocco and a lot of these just for their trade. They get their car, like all of they give their cars, get the oil. All that kind of stuff. That's why you see these cats over there riding around in, you know, Peugeots and Renaults and the cars and shit. They're all tied in money-wise.
Right.
So France is a little bit more liberal about it. Say, all right, man, in these different sects, you can have Shia law.
Right.
Well, I think that most of the time when they would have, you know, they would have these demonstrations of somebody getting their hands cut off, a woman getting flogged, right, or somebody right. getting stolen. Right. They would do it with pride. See?
Yeah.
See, this is what we do over here. We're not running buck-ass wild like you jackasses in the West, or certainly that group of people surrounded by Arabs,
right.
Israel. We ain't doing all that freewheeling shit.
Right.
This is what we do, and they're making examples of it. You know, so it's like Putin. The same thing. Putin came out today, hey man, forget all that LGBTQ rhetoric.
Right.
When they had the games over there in Russia,
right.
he was like, hey, listen, homosexuals, you can come, but don't come near our children. Like, he was very, yeah. very direct with it. People are like, damn, man, you know, you're kind of a dick because the rest of the world's not like that.
Right.
And when these guys get down like this, they not only do it, they push it and wear it as a badge of honor. See how we're different than the rest of the world. See how we keep our people in line. See how we make them obey.
Right?
We don't have the problems that y'all have over there.
Right.
You don't worry about all of that woke fire, woke shit.
Right.
And demonstrations are here. What about over here? Because if that shit starts on our
side, we'll shut it down.
Oh, we'll shut it down quickly.
Yeah.
And so I will say this. We'll see what happens long term.
Right.
But I think the fact that, as you said, they decided to pull back a little bit, it's a change that I've never seen occur in these hardline regimes.
Well, they got rid of that force, that task force. That was a special
task force.
That was a special task force, the morality police.
Well, you know, when you get a force, task force, you're going to go out and force shit.
Yeah, now,
if you don't have them around anymore, then there's things that are already enforced.
Yeah, now, as far as reform,
we're a long way out from that, but it's something.
I think they got to be careful with that. You know, becoming too liberal. You gotta be careful with that. They're gonna fall into a problem we have.
True.
And so that gotta be a nice balance. And I think leaning towards being more conservative than liberal. That's what I believe, man. Listen, it's not just the women who are out of control with this liberal ideology. It's the men too.
Sure.
Listen, man. Absolutely. There was a time where most men did not procreate. You know why?
Allowed to adopt and that, yeah.
They didn't have their paper together.
Because the idea is that it goes against the proliferation of the race.
What? They didn't have their paper together, man.
True.
But now you got everybody procreating, man. Like,
you have it in advertising. You see it in advertising.
Yes. Yes.
A trio, and you know what it is?
Yes. So women are liberal. They're not as conservative and picky. And men can get access to sex so easily now. You know what I'm saying? There was a time where men had to go to a prostitute. Some men had to go to prostitute way.
It is you talking about unintended consequences.
Yeah.
We should table that particular subject. Unintended consequences of the loss of morality.
Yeah.
And how there is an interesting book, The Economics of Sex.
Right.
Can I get one more reason? There's the book, The Economics of Sex, where dudes are saying, look, man, I'm not going to marry you after, you know what I'm saying, you went through college, rode in the cop carousel, and all of a sudden got it in, and then you decide you want to settle down, and then it don't work out, and all of a sudden I'm on the hook for everything that I made, and I'm the one taking an L in this? Nah, man.
Yeah.
And plus, you have women that were unified in terms of, all right, make them work for it. And all it takes is a few, you know what I'm saying, line steppers, you know, strike picket line crossers, right? That say, nah, I'm going to give it up when I want. I like sex. And you can't fault them for that. And it is a free country in that. But what it did was it broke down that wall because guys are like, oh, okay, so I don't have to get this woman and stay with this woman and be with this woman, which I don't think it ought to be that way, but
right.
There are, I can go turn over one night stand anytime. Okay, and it's not my thing, but I have done it.
Right.
And I'm certainly not the only one.
No, I've done it.
That had the ability to do that, and you have to have the cooperation of a woman in order to do that. Okay, and so this is kind of where that, you know, line of demarcation was broken, and men said, you know what? We're later for this. We talked to, remember the kid that we talked to up here?
Right.
The kid from Atlanta.
Right, that said, man,
he saw this marriage shit, and he's like, I don't know. I don't know how old that kid is, man. 32, 33, 34, something like that,
early
right?
30s, yeah.
And he's like, you know, he's a big, good looking kid.
Yeah.
And he's like, all that marriage shit? Fuck no.
Right.
No.
Right.
Nope. I'm going to play for you.
Yeah.
I don't have any kids.
And he got it going on, man. Got a nice kid with a.
That's for him. Well, yeah, I was, I was a father at 19. I felt compelled to
and
do
I was
it,
too.
But, right, wrong, or whatever, and I certainly wasn't ready. I felt compelled to do it. It just seemed natural to me, man, because my mom was 17 when I was born, and my biological father was 19. So it just seemed natural for me to do it. But people are looking at the economics of it, and so you talk about unintended consequences. What you're talking about in terms of a society moving more towards a liberal bend, right? A liberal slant, if you will. You know, this is what you're talking about. You're talking about the unintended consequences of a society moving to a liberal bend that they didn't even see.
Yeah.
Because we did this liberal thing, it was burning bras and women's rights and all this kind of stuff. And that's cool. Now, that's not just limited to that. There were other things that were certainly good in the civil rights movement, but let's just take that aspect of it. Burning bras, I have right to control my own body.
Right.
We get together and we create an embryo that becomes a child. Well, I can put it into it. I'm the woman, it's my body, right? And that's an issue of control as opposed to religion in my eyes. So you do all this. So all of a sudden, what happens? You have this group, men, who see this and they're like, damn, man, my pops, they're married twice.
Right.
Got four kids. He's working 75 hours a week.
Right.
He's barely making it. And, you know, the whole Chris Rock thing.
Sure.
Let me come by and get it in. That's not accounted for. Okay, but the money is certainly accounted for.
Mm-hmm.
So who's affected? We can go into a whole deal about that, and these are topics for later.
Right.
But unintended consequences of legislating morality or a lack thereof, right?
Listen,
man. What you talked about, going that direction towards being liberal.
Yeah.
What you're leery of, and smartly so, because you've extrapolated out in your mind, you got that kind of mind.
Really?
Unintended consequences.
Yeah.
You look up and say, well, how did this happen?
Yeah.
Well, it happened when you
didn't equate that.
Flipped that switch.
Right.
And this became acceptable. Because if you give somebody a trump card, or you allow somebody to do something, willpower over someone, or allow someone to do something, what are they going to do? They're going to do it. It's just like a task force. What's a task force going to do? A task force is going to feel useless unless they go out and fucking enforce some shit.
Right.
Cite some people.
Hey, man, there was a time. So we're at the Loon right now. It's a bar, of course. And so there was a time when you didn't see women in the bar unless they were ladies of the night. Right? Now, the woman...
Or a saloon girl from back in the day, right?
You just didn't
see them attached.
You didn't see it, right?
They were straight saloon girls.
Now...
You know what I mean?
Fast forward to today. You see women in the bar all the time.
Alone, in groups of other women.
Yeah.
On the hunt.
So...
Acting a fool.
So, do you think we suffer as a nation, as a people, from this liberation of women being able just to come in bars and kick it with the men?
I think some did on an individual level. I think those that were maybe not very experienced or not hardened enough to handle matters of the heart.
Right.
If you've been told that the idea is to meet the one, find the one, cultivate with the one, only be with the one. Meanwhile, she's the one that's getting around behind your back.
Right.
You could be crushed. Mentally and emotionally to a point of an extreme measure.
But how many fights have you seen in the bar, in the club, begin because two guys had just a misunderstanding or over a woman?
That too. And yeah. some women, because of his freedom, say, you know what, I'm going to be extra free.
Yes.
And they put the guy on the spot.
Yes.
What if the guy, somebody, it was a quote the other day, said, if you act loud like that, I can't protect you.
Yeah.
There's a man talking about a woman. Yeah, I forget who said it was.
He said, if I can't.
If you're being loud, I can't.
If I can't correct you, I can't protect you.
Exactly. If you're being loud, I mean, you're going to make it harder for me to protect you.
Yes.
It's almost invariably going to end in an instant.
It's because impossible, man.
You won't respect me. Right. Again, another unintended consequence. What we talked about, and this gets back to reform, which is the very subject.
Right.
We talked about it. Look, let's get past the point to whereas, you know, they're getting beat and raped.
Right.
Okay, that shouldn't happen.
Right, shouldn't happen.
Okay, that shouldn't happen. It should never be beat. It should never be raped. It should be treated with respect. Okay, the voting rights thing, I'm fine with. I'm fine with it. I mean, I know nations in Africa, man, and other places in the world that, look, women get everything provided for them, but they can't vote.
But you do know why women were not able to vote, right?
Oh, it's...
You
this
do
is
know what?
Again, yes, this
you,
is again.
You had to fight. You had to fight for your. You had to fight for the country to earn your vote, man.
Yes.
Okay. This is why black men want to fight for their country.
It's a great point.
I want a voice. I want a vote.
Great point.
But women ain't signing up to go fight like that.
Y'all going to be in the USO and help production and shit. You ain't want to go fight.
Right.
But then that's
it. They want equal reward without equal sacrifice.
And you also know on the other side why we don't really want, you know, G.I. Jane aside.
No.
We don't really want female Marines, female Green Berets, because if a little platoon is captured, the one of them's a woman, right. It's horrible for morale, man, to watch what the other soldiers going to do to this one of the people.
It's terrible.
It's terrible for morale.
It's terrible.
It's horrible for morale.
Yeah, it crushes the whole team.
It's about protecting them, but at the same time, it's, you know, I can do anything you can do, and it becomes competition. And don't get it twisted. Women have egos too. They do. Women have egos as well,
It
manifests itself in different areas.
Yeah, in different ways.
Okay, what we talked about in choosing friends and all this kind of shit.
No doubt.
They do. And they can be passive aggressive, subversive,
right?
Because it's their specialty. Doesn't mean that they're all evil. It's their specialty. Look, you take somebody like me or you. I'm passive aggressive with you, and I'm a woman. You kind of let it go and deal with it in your own way and finesse it. If I'm a dude and I'm doing that shit to you, say the third time I do that shit, you're going to say, hey, man, what's up?
Yeah.
That's some of your mind?
Yeah, I'm going to call it out.
Same thing. Like if you do it to me, hey, man, what's up, man? What's up with all this, what we call H.O. shit?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Whereas women do that and live in that and survive in that.
That's right. But they're built to survive.
Yeah.
See, a guy's
they have different weapons than we do.
Yeah, a guy's not wired to survive like a woman's wired. We'll be a lone wolf before we be submissive. We'll be a lone fucking wolf.
We'll be fine with it.
Yeah, but
be
women,
ready to die for that shit.
Women aren't built like that. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So they'll do whatever they have to do to fit in because they need the pack. They need the pack. So they'll do whatever they have to do to fit in.
Women want security. A lot of times they draw from a man. I've been with all kinds of different kind of women. All right? The last one that I was with, so talented and so gifted, I had her own money. There wasn't no getting this woman to submit.
Right.
You weren't going to.
I think they all will, man.
Not this one. Because she is about her. She's a master manipulator. She has many characteristics of a man in that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and she wonders oftentimes, and I try to help her with it, as to why she was alienated by people, you know what I'm saying, friends or whatever. And I said, it's because you put yourself out there and you have these high expectations of them. And I said, another thing, you're happy all the time and everybody looks at you and you're beautiful and successful. They're like, of course you're happy. I'm bringing that shit around me. I got my own problems or whatever. It's people's natural inclination, not mine, not yours, but she couldn't understand it. Well, she still to this day has issues of disconnect with her own daughters, right? With men or whatever, right? Well, she made a decision. She's rare in this. She's rare. I'm gonna do what I want, when I want.
Right.
I ain't gonna be tied to nobody. Give a shit how much money you got. give a shit how much of a man you are, how good looking you are, how good you are in the sack.
Right.
Nobody will ever, ever own me in that way. I view it as a business arrangement, and I don't feel like I should have to give up shit that's not within my comfort zone and not easy to me. Her mother told her, make sure they love you more than you love them.
Mm.
Right? But yet all the while, I'm with her. I would say, I love you, baby. She would say, I love you more. Right? I always contradictory message. She's a manipulator. She says she's ENFJ, which is a percentage of the population that's 5% that puts everyone's feelings ahead of them. She says this. I believe it and buy in like it's a fact. And I'm with her and I'm watching her. And I'm like, you're the opposite of ENFJ. Right, you're 100% right. About yourself.
Right.
Because she's insulated herself from the outside. She can't be affected. She's chosen her comfort level. Okay? And it's on her terms. And I respect that. I mean, I hate the fact that I'm out of the loop because, you know, I've only, you know, over the last 6 months to a year come to grips with my feelings with her. We ain't been together for 2 years. But I understand that.
Right, that's her choice. Right.
I don't necessarily see that as a product of liberalism. To me, if you got it like that, do it like that. Okay? But again, you're talking about a cognitive effect on the populace.
Yeah.
Okay, the morale. Again, as I said before, man, I think that, and my biological father warned me of this when I was young. He said, hey, man, he said, I see you out there getting it in and you're all popular and all this shit. He said, watch, you don't meet an experienced woman or a woman that you're gonna fall for. It's like wrapped around a finger. So watch yourself out there, right?
Yeah.
People get put in these different spots and they get pulled in, and they're like, oh my God, man, this is the ones, my soulmate, love me. And you find out, it never really did. It was just an area of convenience. And
Right. Somebody
like myself, I'm not going to go firebomb a house. I'm not going to, you know, I mean, I told her, I was like, yeah, when you get a new man, if I see him, I'm walking up to him, I'm starching him.
Right,
but that was just schoolboy talk. I wasn't able to do it. I never went over to her house and heated her up afterwards. But some cats fall.
So,
ready to die for that shit and take other people with them.
So you think we're in a good place as America with the liberalism of liberation of women and the freedom they have? Or do you think we need to tighten it up?
It's a deep, deep question what you're talking about. Because we gotta go back to 1920 when they got suffrage, right?
Right, right.
Women were able to vote.
Right.
And so forth and so on, and moving forward through the whole thing.
Right.
And see, you know, how are things different and all this kind of stuff? And, you know, it's a deep, deep question. I think that what you've talked about and what you're leery of, unintended consequences, I think they manifest themselves all the time on an individual, local level, like what I talked about. I've seen dudes, I worked with a girl who, for whatever reason, man, her husband was just insanely jealous. She had to work around all these men. Man, wasn't nobody hitting on her.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It wasn't like that.
Right.
We had a job to do.
Right.
And he was fearful of everybody and hated everybody. And the great thing was, he's a good looking dude. He shows up at the job. Shows up at the job and causes a scene out there stewing.
Hey.
And there wasn't nothing happening.
Hey.
And this shit happens.
It didn't happen that time, but it happens. And so that's another, that may be another problem too.
Back in the day before the liberalism,
yes,
I don't women, know what evidence of it were. People would just side with the man and say, yep, you're right, you're in control, she's your woman.
But I think that's a problem. Women and men working together. I think that's a problem, bro. Especially in corporate America.
It's a problem for the idiots that don't know how to behave.
I don't think it's that black and white, man.
Listen, we don't just say, we talk to women, both of us do, all right? You know, I'm single, you're not, but we both been in that spot. We don't just say crazy shit to women.
Right.
We don't say lewd things.
Right.
We don't say filthy things.
Right.
The extent of ours is, hey, how you doing? We engage in the conversation. Are we saying, oh man, you know, you got a great ass. Are we saying stuff like that? No.
No.
We were raised differently. All right, we're not across that line. Now you have motherfuckers that are.
Right.
That do say shit like that, and I just sit back and I'm like, man, how do you talk to a woman like that you don't even know?
Well, that's extreme, but I'm talking about mingling, having relations with a woman in the office that you work with.
It's a no-no for me.
I've done it several times.
I've done it before, but it's just a no-no.
See, but you've done it before.
And anything that ended up, you know, twisted up or fractured behind that, but I it's different for people, man. I have had a ton of opportunities, and when I started running my own business, I knew, look, ask yourself, this woman at this account, and there were women at every account that I had.
Right.
Every account that I had when I started out with, wanted to get with me. They would tell me about what the girls back in the back were saying to me. I would ask myself, shit goes bad, can I fade losing this account to be with this person? No. Every time, it was never worth it.
Yeah,
I'm going to be there every day, or my company's going to have a presence there every day.
Yeah.
Not going to do it.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden you see, it makes sense, right? Because, man, I couldn't even imagine, right? Like, being hardcore with a woman like that's your woman,
and
you go to work with her every day.
Right.
That is a little different. Now, I had a few workforce dalliances, you know, when I was young, but it was kind of implicit and understood what it was.
Right.
Wasn't nobody anybody's woman.
Right.
But then the one that I had, this girl got pregnant. And she had gotten around. And so there was a big pool.
Who was it? Yeah.
Right? And she's this beautiful mixed girl. And, you know, you got that whole department was mixed. You had Hispanic, white, black, whole thing. Even a couple of Italians. Myself and my boss, right? Well, the day she gives birth, right? All my homeboys, all the brothers, Charles and Lonnie and Shane and all those guys, the baby comes out with blue eyes. So they're like, oh, out of the loop.
Oh, that's you.
Right? Kicks back to me, but, and she comes to me and says, I think this is yours, you know? And I'm like, okay. And I was just in a relationship. Me and my wife were about to divorce.
Right,
I had a young son. And I said, all right, I'll do what I can. I mean, I wasn't making any money at the time. I said, but I'll do what I can. I'm not a dickhead, right? Then, some unrelated shit, I get thumbed from that job. Right? I get fired from that job. My director is the Italian guy I was telling you about. I lose contact with her, all right? But then I see this guy, this Italian guy, driving down the block, pull over and start talking. Boom. He left his wife that he knew from elementary school in Brooklyn with their son. Started a new family with this girl. Pulls out the picture.
That girl,
look at my son, that girl. He ends up marrying her. That's why I never heard from him.
It was his son.
Right. Well.
He thinks.
Okay. I'm going to let a little bit out of the bag here, all right? This is kind of personal, but I'm about 6 foot, 6'1", 6 foot and a half an inch. Okay. When I was athletic in my prime, you know, I was about $170, $175.
Right.
Okay. You know, maybe 180 or whatever when I started lifting weights. All right. This guy, the Italian guy, the director, okay, first of all, he had brown eyes. She had light brown eyes. Okay. She had green eyes.
Yeah.
Started out as blue, then became green.
That's spectrum.
Okay.
Buddy.
So.
Yeah.
This guy's 5'9 and stocky. I've always been long.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And trim.
Right.
Right? And so
thanks.
I don't hear anything from her.
Right.
And this is really messed up, but on a whim, I remember the guy's last name. And I looked this kid up. Because the guy has a unique last name.
Uh-huh.
Right? And I'm looking at this kid. He plays ball out in West Texas, went to college, he's a receiver. 6 foot, 170.
Oh, damn.
He's got green eyes and the hair growth on his face. He obviously missed the day shaving when they took the team picture.
Right.
It's exactly like mine.
Damn.
And he is the same size. And then this is even worse, right? I watched this game because I was a receiver. And you know, I've never had any exposure to this kid. He's a body control, possession, great route runner, count the steps, great hands, go inside guy. He's not a 4-3 guy. He's fast, but he's more of a craftsman, right? And I look at the kid, and so I asked, I did a survey amongst all my people, and I'll show you the kid, because I want you to look at it. But I did a survey a couple years ago amongst all my people. Very few of them said no outright.
Yeah.
That would have been probably 20%. 30% of them said, oh, I don't know. Half of them said, yep, that's you. So now, what I was just curious, what did I hope the game looked, man? That man raised him as his son.
Right, right, right.
So I respect that. I don't have anything to gain, I don't want anything. I want to come into this guy's life. And the kid's successful somewhere down in Austin. He's got a degree. Yeah. You know, he's 30 now, right?
Damn.
32, right?
Damn.
And she had another kid with this guy.
But what if that's your seed, man? That's your seed. Say, who says only black guys spill their seed out there?
The man whore thing is not restricted to any one group, because I was a pretty big man whore.
But we get that stigma, man.
Oh, of course you do. Oh, of course you do. All right, y'all got it like that. But the thing is, he also, in some ways, kind of looks similar to my friend Shane. But now Shane is 6'3". Shane has light brown eyes.
Right.
But again, here's the thing about old girl. She has sculpted features like I do.
Mm.
Right? Like our features look similar as human beings.
Right, right, right.
Right? But yeah, I'm going to show you the picture after the show.
Hey, man.
I want you to see it.
Hey, hey, man.
We might have gotten off track a little bit, but listen. In a society that morality is not that relaxed, that never happens.
That never happens.
That never happens.
See, that's my point.
That never happens.
That's my
question. That never happens.
That's my point.
That is your point.
That's my point.
And it's a good point, Stacey. It's a good point.
We got to tighten it up,
exactly,
man.
Right.
Yeah, man. Iran needs to be careful and be very cautious about letting the West influence them.
We let power go to the states and then to the city states and then to the individual.
Yeah.
We're thinking everything's going to be taken care of.
Yeah, yeah.
But yet, what you're indicating is that there's some legislation that needs to take place.
No doubt.
And I certainly agree with you 100%. We do. There are a lot of unintended consequences.
Yeah,
we touched on a few of them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, incidents, people's attitudes towards marriage.
Right.
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 You know how America's not really tripping. Particularly white people are not tripping on having kids.
No.
They're having fewer and fewer of them. Whereas you got a place like China where for whatever reason, there's a distinct reason. Back in the day, China put a restriction on the number of kids that each household could have.
Right, right.
So if households had a girl, they euthanized it.
Right.
Try to have a boy because the boy takes care of the parents when they get elderly. It got so messed up that China had to start offering money. Benefits. Keep your girl, man. You know what I'm saying? Don't take it out of the river.
Yeah, yeah.
Because their ratio of men to women,
it's crazy.
It was 12
crazy.
Or 13 to 1.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm just like, you know, and they realize that a society can't survive like that.
Right. Yeah.
Right? Whereas here, it's, hey, look, we'll tell you to leave it.
Yeah.
These cats that ain't getting married, that ain't spending their money, that ain't tying all their fortune up, and that ain't having kids, doing that shit out of choice.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, I think there's some women that don't say, I don't want to have kids either. But again, man, when we talk about insurance, we talk about benefits for married couples and why people are against gay marriage.
Right.
Because some people see it as a benefits grab.
Yeah.
Because the original benefits, the idea of benefits were have kids.
Right.
We'll take care of them.
Right.
The proliferation of the race of people.
Right.
The entire race. Right? The families, the young families. We keep our civilization going.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Well, we know that that particular type of union, there's no proliferation.
Right.
Okay, for whatever it may be. So you combine that with those that can proliferate, that decide not to, then the number goes down. But we've never had a problem with not enough population.
No, no, we don't have that problem. SD and JC at the Loon Live every Monday at 7 p.m. Central at the corner of Cole Avenue and Hall Street, Uptown Dallas. Come join us. Come have a drink with us. Great food, great service. Yeah, man, you don't want to miss out. We're going to end this with a little discussion about these Cowboys, man. A lot is going on.
Thank you for bringing that up.
Yeah.
I was hoping you would do that. You read my mind.
So we've been courting OBJ. Saw him at the Mavericks game the other day. Now the whole crew was there. Parsons, a bunch
Diggs
of guys.
And
yeah, a bunch of the guys were there courting him.
Yep.
You know, chopping it up. He seemed like he was in good spirits. Laughing it up with the guys. I hear he has a few options. And we're, you know, trying to lock in his services very strongly, man. We're pursuing them strongly. What do you think?
Well, the excuse they gave for shipping off Amari Cooper was, we have young guys. We're going to invest in Gallup. We want CeeDee Lamb to get more targets. We want guys who can come on the roster like Noah Brown. Plus, whoever we draft, we're going to draft a young receiver. They did. Kid named Tolbert. Only one ball. Now, all of a sudden, you've got this tight end group emerge.
Right.
First, fourth round pick. Pendershot, undrafted. Right? These guys, you know, Schultz, very good. Coming off, you know, last year when he was very good and very good again. So, and it's like, and you want to throw it to Pollard. Right? You know what I'm saying? You want to throw it to him too, right?
Right.
And so it's like, we only want football go around. And so it's been my belief that Jerry will, to me it's all media driven. You notice how they activated James Washington, the receiver they signed at free agency this year.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They activated him when the same day that Odell scheduled his visit. Not the same day he made the visit, but he said, I'll be there on the 5th.
So they're going to give him up.
But the day that he said, I'm coming to Dallas on the 5th, the Cowboys said, oh, yeah, by the way, James Washington, who had a Lisfranc fracture or whatever it was, he's now ready to practice for the team. He was ready to practice for the team 2 weeks ago. But they make that announcement the same day.
Right.
To me, it sets up this. They don't like second-guessing themselves. They just hung 54 on Indianapolis.
Right.
A lot of that was defense. Right. But Dak has had the offense cooking since he came back. What they're going to do is they're going to lowball him. If they wanted him, he wouldn't have left today.
I think they're using James as trade bait, man.
What?
They're using him as trade bait, James Washington.
Well, but they can't because trade deadline is passed. And he has, without any projection this year, and being a former second-round pick, let go by the Steelers, not even re-signed, not even tender, okay? He has no trade value. What they would ultimately have to do is they would probably have to cut him or reach an injury settlement with him to put OBJ on the roster. Now, here's the thing. Can OBJ add you a spark? Yes. Is it free talent? Yes. You ain't giving up no draft picks. It's just money.
Right.
You ain't giving up any draft picks. It's just money. But I think, I believe, God knows I could be wrong, I think that their football people, Will McClay and the coaches, are sitting there saying, look, man, we got Schultz, Henderson, and Pendershot. Three tight ends that have all made plays that we like. Gallup is starting to get more targets. He's getting stronger coming back from the injury last year. CD is stepping his game up.
Yeah.
Looking like a number one.
It's been more consistent.
We like Noah Brown a lot. We kept him around for a while. He's a big receiver. Helps you run game and blocking game and makes some pretty good chain moving clutch grabs. Not a bunch, but he's a guy that can be counted on.
Right.
Okay, so now all of a sudden they're getting nothing out of the third round draft pick, Tolbert. Washington, okay, they can bring it back. Doesn't cost them any money. They can play Tolbert more. They try to play Tolbert more. Okay, it's hard at this point in the season, man, because it's like basketball. You start to shrink your bench. You may play 10 guys during the season in the NBA. The time you get to the playoffs, it's down to 7. He's trying to win. And so my belief is that they will lowball Odell, and Jerry will see we tried. Because what's Jerry been about it in the meeting? He's been all bowdy bowdy. Man, we love this guy. We love him. He's great. He's a great uniform. But they're going to lowball it.
Right.
And Odell said he wants, like, talk about finding a home. He wants this to be his last deal.
Well, yeah, he wants a long-term deal.
And he wants a 3-year deal.
Yeah.
And he's 30 years old, coming off an injury. What? But Jerry and him have been bowdy bowdy. We like him. See, here's the thing, man. Way, way, way back in the day when me and you were coming up, they wanted someone, it was done.
Yeah, it was done.
I remember your boy Troy Aikman got hurt. The Browns had just released Koshaw.
Yeah, I remember that.
That shit took no time.
I remember that.
Hey, man, we didn't expect you to get released, buddy.
Even Bledsoe.
Simon and started the next week.
Yeah, yeah.
At quarterback.
Yeah.
They wanted him.
Yeah.
They made a determination. They wanted him. Back in the day, they wanted LeRoy Glover.
Right.
Best free agent lineman out there. You ain't leaving, man. We're backing up the Briggs truck for you.
Yeah.
We're making sure you don't leave. Anytime they've done big free agent deals, and they haven't done a big one in a while, they don't do that anymore.
Right.
They've changed their philosophy of swinging for the fences on free agents. They believe in building through the draft. Hell, a lot of times they don't even believe in signing guys' second contract, like the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Right.
Right? But Jerry wants to and loves to be viewed as a Wheeler dealer. Oh, yeah, we're in on it. They're all lowballing.
Yeah.
And I predict he doesn't sign, and they'll say, great, we made, for posterity's sake, overtures, talking about how much we loved it. People in the media got fired up. It's my belief that football people are saying, look, man, come on, dude. You got six guys
right. That
you can throw the ball to. Six, okay? And you want to get the top two in CeeDee Lamb and Michael Gallup. You want to get them even more targets.
Right.
So, you know, I've heard all of, well, it's for next year and blah, 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 blah. Well, here's the thing about Tolbert, the kid they were drafting, the receiver they drafted, third rounder. Throughout his whole career, the second year he's been in the system, he takes off. The first year he's in a system, you don't see any numbers to speak of, but every place he's been, in terms of the conference that he went to, and now we'll see in the pro, right. His second year, there is this massive jump. So, I promise you, he will make less than Odell. You know, Gallup, it'll be comparable. I can't see anybody giving Odell $13 million, man. I'm sorry, man. I'm just not seeing it. I don't think anybody will do that, okay? But you have Tolbert, and you have Noah Brown, and you can say, hey, man, we stay with you. We have to re-sign you. You can say, hey, James Washington, another make good deal. You missed this whole year. Come back, league minimum, incentive, make another run at it. It's one less thing they have to worry about. People are saying, well, they signed Odell, they don't have to worry about receiving the draft. You have other moves you can make.
Yeah.
To not have to worry about receiver in the draft. I think it's a lot of hype. I don't think that they'll sign him. I don't.
I
wouldn't mind having him, but I don't think they'll sign him.
Yeah, we'll know soon. We'll know by, I'd say by the weekend we should know.
His visits are done if this was the last one.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
We'll definitely know soon.
I think he did the Buffalo thing and the Giant thing. It was Buffalo, Giants, and Cowboys.
Right.
I think he already did the Buffalo thing because Von Miller was campaigning, hey man, you don't even need to leave, you stay here.
Right.
He does that, then he does the Giant thing, then he does the Dallas thing last.
Actually, his best option probably is Buffalo, opposite end of Diggs.
But he himself wants a place to live long term. The man that mentioned me a business was from Buffalo.
Yeah.
He lived in every other city in America that was big you could think of. Nothing against Buffalo.
Right.
Okay. Jim Kelly wanted to play in Dallas when the USFL fall. But then he went to Buffalo and learned to love it.
Right.
Okay.
It's cold, man. It's cold up there.
Not everybody is going to get down like that. I think Odell likes L.A. I think he likes New York. I think Dallas is a good alternative landing ground.
Right.
Because Dallas has everything you want.
No state tax.
And you're going to be treated like the stars in Dallas matter of Dallas.
Oh, treated like royalty.
They're like stars in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Or New York.
Yeah.
Okay, we're entertainers. So, but again, Jerry's going to lowball him, right? And say, hey, it's incentive-based, it's back-loaded.
Right.
And they're going to say, hey, man, we like Odell and respect it. We couldn't come to an agreement. Now, Odell may release details and say, man, you see this crap they offered me? But in the end, he won't sign. Cowboys are faded because they acted like they were interested in him.
Right.
We did our due diligence. We wanted him. He didn't want to come. He was unreasonable. He'll say they were unreasonable. Whatever. In the end, right, they'll get what they want out of it, right, because he's not a must. He would play a bigger role with the Giants, believe me.
But can they get him the ball, though?
That's the question.
Yeah, I don't think they get
him the
ball.
There's times I've seen Daniel Jones make big-time throws. Then there's times, man, it's like, what are you doing, dude?
They don't have a line. They don't have an offensive line, man.
There's questions there.
Yeah.
There's fewer questions at Buffalo.
Right.
Everybody believes in Josh Allen. But damn, man, I mean, Buffalo's got some good receivers, too, man.
Yeah.
You know, he ain't taking a shot from Diggs.
Right.
And then that kid on the other side that caught 4 touchdowns in the playoff game,
right.
He's good.
Right, right.
And you know, then they have other guys, their third guy, you know, and they don't throw to the tight end a ton. But, again, it's about touches and all that. I just think it's a big smokescreen. Jerry loves being in the media, loves talking about his team. Odell being linked to them does not mean that they signed him. He's just linked to him.
Right,
so Jerry
right.
can come on and say, boy, I tell you what, you know, we like Odell. He looked good with a star. And I said, we certainly have a lot of admiration for him. You watch what people say and how they say it. And what they don't say as much as what they do say.
Right.
Tell us the tale. I've said this for years. Listen to how Jimmy Johnson compliments Jerry Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry so wants to be known as this personnel guy,
right.
this builder of teams. Jimmy is always very effusive in his compliments to Jerry. But what does he say? Look at this stadium you built.
Right.
This franchise is the most valuable in the world. Look at what you've done. You're the best businessman I've ever seen. Does he ever once say, hey, man, 2014, man, you won executive of the year. How about that draft? Hey, man, look at this draft you just had, man. Boy, I tell you what, you're picking guys. Because Jimmy knows Jerry doesn't do that.
Right.
And Jimmy is resentful of the fact that Jerry tried to act like he was the genius behind
Jimmy finding these guys. That's how their beef started. Hey, so, man, hey, we'll see what happens
exactly.
this week. We'll see you real soon. We're going to get out of here, man. JC and XD at the Loon every Monday at 7 p.m. Central at the corner of Cole Avenue and Hall Street, Uptown Dallas, or Dallas Uptown, however you want to say it. Come drink with us. Come have a meal with us. Good food, great drinks, great staff, great ownership. We out. Peace.
Peace.